Raptors will win for the second time with trailing after three, and the Warriors with a disaster of a loss on the road, and now will have to beat a very good Minnesota team to try to split the four-game win-chill road trip. Raptors 104, Warriors 101. Golden State falls to below 500, 19-20 on the season, and get ready for Minnesota.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
Wolves are good, also one of the teams that's in the play-in right now and only two games ahead of the Warriors.
Right.
So you could do the two birds, one stone thing with a win tomorrow night. That would not be bad. Knockout tournament's back, all you 95.7 The Gamers. I don't know if you got in last year. This was fun, man. This was so fun last year. Word on the street is Dibs is not going to play again. Why?
Yeah, I'm game time decision. I'm not needed.
But you're wanted.
Yeah, I'd rather be courtside with Steiny doing what I do best, which is making fun of people.
Remember in Die Hard when he was like, shoot the glass.
Right, yeah.
I want you to shoot the ball.
And it took Hans's buddy, him saying it twice, to actually get what he was saying.
Well, he said it in a different language first.
Right.
She's Tim Finster.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
I thought he played like for the Bucks.
He's like, she's Tim Finster.
Yeah,
and then he's like, shoot the glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need as many people as possible to take down Mark Grandy.
Well, all we need is a slew of listeners behind him. He's going first, and he's going down.
Okay.
He will go down, and he will go down hard.
Well, this is a hard down. This is a hard tournament to repeat on because it's a whole lot of people.
Well, he's a marked man now, too.
Exactly.
Pun intended.
Very good. But anyway, bottom line is this is your chance to come play basketball on the Chase Center floor. How cool is that? So you'll be claiming a spot in the tournament three times a day, every day, for 3 weeks, starting Monday, January 27th, okay? 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, 4 p.m. hour, every day, for 3 weeks, three spots. So think about, add that all up. That's how many people are getting in. We hope you're one of them. Got to be 18 or older. You got to be living here in California. More details to come. Knockout tournament right here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go to David in Maryland. Hi, David. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Willard. Hey, Debs. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, man.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, man, I don't know what you guys are seeing on your pages, on your social media, but, I mean, this message by Kerr and the organization, they hurt a lot of feelings tonight, man, with this one. I just don't agree with this perspective that we're just going to sit and do nothing. I mean, even Shafty said earlier today that he thinks the best thing to do is just to give up Draymond, give up everyone that's, you know, not doing what they're paid to do. Keep Steph, keep Kuminga, and try to acquire, you know, better pieces. I mean, they say that they're not going to tank. I don't know why they feel like they have an option in this. I mean, we've lost to the Toronto Raptors. I bet they were saying that they weren't going to lose to them before the game started, but that happened. So, I mean, a lot of feelings are hurt tonight by this, you know, stance of almost like we're not going to do anything. You know, looking back at how everything has turned out, it's just a little bit of animosity towards everything with Draymond, you know, the pool punch and everything, and just wishing that you know, things could have went different. And, you know, now people are reminiscing on the whole KD thing with Draymond. Maybe what we would have been if we would have kept KD on this team. And it's really painful tonight. And the fans are not happy with this response.
Well,
just sitting on our hands.
David, maybe we can help. I don't know if Dibs agrees with me. Thank you for the call. I think you're hearing something that's not there. I'm not taking the message as who on the Warriors has gotten in front of a microphone and went, we're doing nothing. That's it. We're done. We're going to sit here and do nothing. I get where you got there. You heard Steph Curry say, we're not going to be irresponsible. Steve Kerr said, we're not going to be irresponsible. That's a good thing. I don't think it means we're sitting on our hands and we're going to refuse to do anything.
Of course not. And the thing that struck me, and we'll hear more from Steve Kerr here coming up in just a few minutes, is the idea that he, Steph, and Draymond, actually, they talk about it.
Yeah,
it's not,
and agree.
And Mike and Joe, I would imagine, are in on those conversations at times. So it's kind of a five-headed monster of the decision makers, and I do think the consensus now is we're not just going to hurl assets into the ether to try to get a Hail Mary of a move here in February. I think it's more likely they do something small here, a player you can have again next year, then you go out in the offseason and you try to make a bigger swing.
Let's go to Big Don in Walnut.
Hey, I'm Big Don.
Yeah, Big Don. Hey, Big Don, what are you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing, man? I love to hear you guys. Took me about, this is my second hour on the freeway listening to you guys. I love it.
Let's go.
From San Francisco, big traffic. I like your guys' references on the movies. That was awesome.
Which one?
But I'm going to go, the one about the Die Hard.
Yeah, I like that knowledge. Yes, she's the Finster.
I'm going to go with the movie. I'm going to go with Godfather 1 and Michael Corleone. We need to get rid of some people on the Warriors and get some assets of ourselves, because that'll be our future. That would help us. When Curry's gone, we got some people to step in. Come on, man. Doesn't it sound common sense?
Well, but easier said than done, Big Don. Like that, I don't necessarily disagree, but I mean, if you mean, for instance, similar to what the previous caller said, and thanks, Big Don, appreciate it, and good safety with your ride. Like, when people go, yeah, we got to get rid of Draymond Green. How do you do that? How do you do that? These aren't like playing cards in a deck and you just like go fish. Somebody has to want Draymond Green at $25 million. The Warriors are in a situation where trades, which are always hard, are even harder because the money they bring back and the money that goes out has to almost be exact.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they are so hands tied here and sending out a highly paid and for years in the future 35-year-old Draymond Green, 34, whatever he is. Like, you can't just do that.
And it's harder now than ever before.
Yes.
And you'll hear Steve Kerr mention Danny Ainge and the famous trade of Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. And I'll get into more of the minutia of the details because it's maybe the most lopsided trade in the history of trades. But they were 37 and 35. Garnett was 37. Paul Pierce is 35. Steph's about to be 37.
Yep.
Draymond's coming up on 35. But to do the trade that they did then, now, is almost impossible.
Right. And they've already stated, Steve just stated, right, like they're not trading Steph Curry. It's unthinkable. In fact, if you missed any of that conversation, we've got it in full. So here it is, and then we'll get back to your calls at 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr is in Minnesota in January, which is an interesting place to be. So we began by asking Coach Kerr, how's the weather out there?
I think it was 2 today.
Okay.
There you have it.
Yep. That sounds like my experiences out there too, come playoff football playoff time. But anyway, Steve, you said last night was right up there, maybe even the most frustrating moment of the season. I wonder if you'd expand on why.
Well, I mean, it's a game we got to win. You know, we got a lead late in the game. We're playing a team that only has 8 wins and you know, missing their point guard, and we needed the win, and we just didn't get it, and that's frustrating. We've got to finish those games. We've been in so many close games this year, and I don't know what our record is in, you know, these clutch games that they talk about. It's probably around 500, but it just feels like we should have at least 3 or 4 more wins this year than we do, and last night felt like one of them.
When you look at these games, these late games, is there a common thread that you look at as a reason why you guys are unable to close these wins out?
Every night's different, and when your margins for error are slim, then you got to take care of the details. And if you look at the games I'm talking about that we've felt like we should have won, and why we didn't, well, it's slightly different each game, but it comes down to fundamentals and basics, and are we making the right play? Are we making a solid pass? Are we getting a good shot? Are we are we getting a stop when we need a stop? So it's a little different every game, but it still comes back to are you good enough and are you solid enough? And so far this year we haven't been.
Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs. I'm sure this won't surprise you. These were fascinating comments that both you and Steph Curry made after the game. Draymond has made similar ones. When you have dignitaries at your level in the NBA, we're used to people being like, come on, let's go, make moves, everything for me, let's see if we can make a run at this thing. And there was an awareness, seemingly, to all of your comments about the state of the organization that I found refreshing. But the question I got to was, what do you see as the realistic or correct goal to be striving for this year?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a great point. We're just in a really unique spot and in a really difficult situation through no one's fault, by the way. This is just the reality of sports and life and, you know, whatever. It's just had this amazing run, and we're at the tail end of it, and we're trying to hang on to it. And it's a young man's game. We know that, and we were that team 10 years ago. We were Oklahoma City, you know, we were Houston. We were just on the rise. So here we are, and we're on the decline. We know that. Steph and Draymond and I have talked about it, you know, together. It would be so irresponsible for this franchise to trade everything away for one final swing at a title. Yeah, I think you have to know where you are, you know, organizationally. You have to know the position of the rest of the league, the landscape, and this does not feel like a time, in my estimation, I think, in Mike's and Steph's and Draymond's, where you just you push all the chips in the middle and take a wild swing. That would be so irresponsible. So we're aware of that, but what does that mean? It means we are where we are. We're in the middle of the pack with a bunch of teams that are either, you know, good enough or not good enough, and we have to find out if we are. And by good enough, that means, you know, can you climb your way into the playoffs and give yourself a chance? And that's what we're trying to do.
Is it something that you, Steph, and Draymond have collectively discussed about, you know, where the organization is and how you should, you know, conduct yourself as an organization over the next 23 days?
We've talked about this. The three of us have been together for so long. We have these kind of conversations, and the discussion has been had, and I'm so impressed with these guys and how much they care about the Warriors and the future of the Warriors. And I think you're right. I mean, a lot of players in their situations would be saying, screw that. Let's trade everything and see what we can do. But that's not who they are. And I think part of that is they're warriors for life. You know, that's part of the meaning of having a player who's only on one team for his entire existence. You see Dirk Nowitzki now watching Dallas games, like he's on the sidelines like a fan, you know, and that's really cool. I love that. And I think that's how Steph and Draymond are going to be once they're retired. They're going to be Warriors fans. They want the best for this franchise going forward, and so they have a reasonable mind about this stuff.
Steve, Dennis Schroeder, it's still only been a few weeks, but why, in your mind, does he not look like the Dennis Schroeder that we've been watching with other teams?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a struggle for Dennis and for us to try to fit him in smoothly. He's a hell of a player. He's a great defender, and he's got guts. He's unafraid of the moment, and he's helped us win some games for sure. I thought his night in Detroit was really key to that game, that victory against the Pistons. Just what he did defensively against Cade Cunningham and, you know, making big plays down the stretch. So we know what Dennis is capable of. I just think we're all trying to find the right combinations, the right balance. I think he's used to playing with, frankly, with more shooting around him, you know, and we don't have a team that really stretches the floor very well. So there's not a lot of space for him, and he's not as able to use that speed and quickness to get to the rim. So it's been a little bit of an adjustment, but again, it's still early in the process. It's only been a month or so, and you know, we got to keep plugging away. We'll get better with him, and vice versa for sure.
You had mentioned, I think last week, the phrase that has kind of stuck with me: crisis of confidence. And I wonder if that was, I'm sure it's directed at everybody, but is it partly Dennis fitting in, but also Buddy and his shooting woes?
I didn't mean any one individual player. I really meant it as a team. You know, you can just feel our guys know that every game is going to be close. I believe we've still played more close games than anybody in the league. So we got to win on the margins, and I think the players understand that, and so they're pressing a little bit. I know I feel that way. You know, last game I made a couple of decisions that backfired, and after the game I didn't sleep very well because I beat myself up for you know, feeling like I cost us the game. And it's a really tough way to exist as, you know, as a team, as a coach, as a staff, or as players, to feel like every single play is so massive, and the, you know, the game is riding on it, and you got to be loose and free, and you got to be able to make some mistakes to be your best self. And I think right now, when I talk about the crisis of confidence, I think we're all just feeling like, man, this stuff is fragile, and we got to do everything well. And that's probably too much, you know, to put on the guy's shoulders right now.
Steve Kerr with us, as he is every week on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Coach, I've said it on our show a bunch of times. Man, this Jonathan Kuminga injury sucks. Like, the timing of it and the seriousness of it, with the way you guys are playing and the trade deadline on the way, what has this done to you guys?
Well, I thought he was playing his best basketball just before he went down. You know, he just was so under control, so measured, making such good decisions, and playing at such an efficient level that it really felt like he was turning a corner. So for him to go down right at that moment was tough individually for him, and it really hurt us just because he's you know, one of our most talented players and one of the guys we really count on to score after Steph. So you know, you see how everyone's playing Steph these days. It's, you know, almost like a box in one no matter where we go. And so we miss Jonathan's ability to get to the rim and score big time.
And that's probably part of the reason why you've had 11 games this year where you haven't reached 100. Last year you only had three such games. Offensively, is it as simple as, you know, it's a make or miss league and your shooters aren't scoring? Or is there more you can do offensively to try to create more points and, you know, get to that magical 100-point mark?
Yeah, there's always more we can do, and that's what we look at every single day as a staff. But there's no getting around it. You know, last 6 weeks we've been you know, really one of the worst offenses in the league, and you know, we see plenty of stuff on tape that we've got to do better, that you know, our players can do better, and it's always a group effort. But we're working on that stuff all the time.
Steve, when, you know, there's all the references to 12-3, and even you've done it, where you're like, I watched these guys do things differently and be a good team on both ends of the floor. What are the specifics there? What did you see that you guys were doing early that you haven't been able to replicate?
Well, I think we were generating a much better pace to the game. Our defense was elite. I think it's been fine over the last month, but not elite. And I think our identity, that first 15-game stretch, was that we were feisty and we were fast. And you know, last night was one of the slowest-paced games we've had all year. And you know, we're talking about that every day, about the need to get the ball in quickly, made or miss, to get it up the floor, to really push the pace. But we just haven't been able to generate that same kind of pace that we had early in the year. And I think that's, you know, that's the big thing that we're trying to put together, is can we get back to that kind of team that we were early on, fast and feisty and get out and run, you know, cause deflections and turnovers and even on made baskets, race it up the floor. So it's something we've got to get back to.
Is part of that maybe injecting more of the Generation Z guys? Because I'm thinking about Guy Santos and how feistily he played the other night, and Moses Moody, born in 2002. Is it as simple, or is it too simplistic to just go to a much more of a youth movement to try to get some of that pace back?
Yeah, I think that's too simple. I mean, Guy is the guy who generates a lot of that with his hustle and just the way he anticipates plays. And so I love playing Guy for that reason. But every game's different, you know. With this team, you know, you kind of have to ride the hot hand sometimes, and we've got a lot of options. I think that's probably the toughest part coaching this team is that you know, I got a million options every night, but no clear choices. And it's like, you know, you go to the Cheesecake Factory and there's a thousand things on the menu. Like, I don't want to go to a restaurant like that. You know, give me 10 things on the menu.
That menu is a headache, isn't it? It's a headache.
Yeah, it's a headache.
You got to pick
Obviously, I'm giving you a stupid metaphor.
Great metaphor.
The reality is, it's, you know, from night to night. What you want as a coach is you kind of want to know, like, here's our pattern. These are the guys we're going to. We're going to do this night after night. And this year it hasn't been that way. It's partly because of injuries, partly because, like I said, we don't have clear separation within the group, and so we're kind of mixing and matching from one night to the next. And that's not easy on the coaches. It's definitely not easy on the players, you know, just them not knowing what their role in the rotation will be from one night to the next. But again, we're just trying to win each game, and every night is very different for us.
Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs, and you know, you look at this whole situation right now, and so much talk about the deadline, and I won't bring up any specific names, but do you feel like this organization needs to do something at the deadline, either just to rejuvenate or refresh or anything on that end?
I have 100% faith in our organization to do whatever the right thing is, and sometimes the right thing is to not do anything. So, you know, it depends on what you're going to do, what that means. And Mike is so good at his job. I feel in great hands with him and the whole organization, and they're looking at everything, and you know, it's about not only looking at, you know, what's out there, but also looking at, you know, who we are, what is our identity, and organizationally, where are we, and, you know, understanding our position within the landscape, and then, you know, figuring out what's next. And that's, these are difficult questions for us because of, you know, the legacy that Steph and Draymond have, and four championships in the last 10 years, and you know, still plenty to play for, but we're clearly not in that top tier anymore. That's obvious. So it creates some really difficult questions.
And as you talk about legacy, you should be included as well. And I know you won't include yourself, but I will, because you also have four titles here. When you guys talk about urgency, are you looking more in a longer term, broader conversation, as opposed to we need to make something happen in the next 3 weeks or else? Do you look at, you know, you being here for another year and a half at least, and Steph for 2.5, and Draymond, do you look at this more from a, not a super long term lens, but at least through maybe the off season and what can be done heading into next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, we're all just on the same page with this stuff. We're not looking at it, you know, this season or a season and a half. We're looking at just the Warrior, the welfare of the Warriors organization and the franchise, and what that means. And again, there's no easy answer to this, and you're faced with some really, really difficult decisions to make. And you know, I remember Danny Ainge when he you know, he traded Garnett and Pierce, and he said, you know, what I learned from Red Auerbach was you know, watching that team get old with Bird and McHale, he said, what I learned was I'm not doing that. I'm not letting those guys get. He said I would have traded Larry Bird if I remember correctly. I think Danny Ainge actually said that. I would have traded Larry Bird if I was the GM. And that was a fascinating quote, and one that I would probably challenge Danny on. You know, it'd be fun to talk to him about it. He might laugh and say, yeah, I mean, I say that, but that would have been really hard to do, you know, it's kind of where we are, right? We got guys, Steph and Draymond are still really damn good, but we're a fading team, and that, you know, in terms of our run, our window being open, all that stuff. So, yeah, Mike's got a tough job. Joe Lacob, these guys have really difficult decisions to make. But like I said, we are all on the same page. Players, management, ownership, we're all on the same page. We trust each other. We're fighting together. We're in it together. And whatever direction we go, we're all on board.
Steve, that's really interesting because, I mean, you can hear it in your voice how difficult it is, and all the fans have been doing this. It's hard to find what the right answer is. But when you bring up the idea of the superstar potentially putting on a different jersey, I think fans are – there's a lot of that right now where it's not so much like should the Warriors trade Steph, because I don't think anybody thinks y'all
are – No way.
Right?
Yeah,
But there's concern that Steph might get to a spot where he would ask for it. What do you tell fans who are thinking that?
I don't think so. I just think Steph loves the Warriors. He loves he loves the idea of being a Warrior for life. I think that's so meaningful for him. He has no intention of doing it. That's what makes him unique and different. It's why he's not asking the organization to trade everything to go get him help. Steph is so special in so many different ways, and his self-awareness is just incredible. It's so meaningful for him to be a Warrior. I don't think our fans have to ever worry about that. It's just a question of, man, this is can we help him? Like, what can we do? I watch him still out there performing and playing at such a high level, and he's bringing so much joy to so many people, not only at Chase, but in every arena. People are so excited to see this guy play, and there's so much value in that, to watching him perform. And, you know, I think our fans recognize that, understand that, and they want to see him perform for as long as possible, as they should. This guy is one of the greatest artists of all time. He's just an incredible performer, and we're all lucky to watch him play. Hopefully that's something that goes on for another few years. It sure looks like it, but in the meantime, it's a much tougher spot to be in organizationally than it was, you know, for us even the last couple of years. I think everyone recognizes that.
Steve, we always appreciate all your time, and we know very well that you're coaching basketball and talking through all this with a really heavy heart right now, and so we do want to check on you and the welfare of your family and the experience that everybody is having in Southern California and just see how everything's going.
No, I appreciate you guys asking. My mom is safe, and that's the main thing, but her house is gone. The whole Pacific Palisades neighborhood, really the whole town where we grew up, where I grew up, just devastated. Every friend that I have that lost their home, pretty much every childhood friend, those houses are gone. So it's surreal. It was such an idyllic place to grow up, such an incredible hometown place to be from, and to go back to. The house that burned down was the same house that I grew up in. And every time we play the Lakers or Clippers, I Uber up to my mom's house and have dinner with her at the house the night before the game. And it's, you know, these are special evenings, and it hasn't hit home yet that's not going to happen anymore. You know, house is gone, and we haven't been able to get anybody up there yet to even inspect it and see the rubble and the devastation. So when that moment comes, I'm going to fly down and be with my family and go up there, and I'm sure that'll be incredibly difficult, but that moment is coming, and it's tough to think about.
Just thoughts with you, thoughts with everybody down there, and appreciate you sharing that, and glad she's safe. Thank you, Steve, for coming on, as always.
Thanks for having me, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Indeed. Steve Kerr, head coach, Dubs, with us as he is every week on Willard and Dibbs. And just that last part there with regard to Steve Kerr. You listen to the guys talk right now. Obviously, everybody's down. But what I don't think viewers and fans and listeners and all that think about sometimes is when you watch that post-game press conference and Steve is like, this is the most frustrated we've been or what have you. You know, like, keep that in mind, too. That's all. Just keep that in mind, what Steve is going through, because it is a lot.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah. I mean, not only is your childhood home gone, but your mom, and I think his mom is 90, about 90, and so you have to worry about where she was able to get evacuated to, and now where is she going to live, and all of your friends that you grew up with, and just the very town. Like, think about Foster City and all the memories you have going in and around Foster City, and for me, it's Fairfax and even Petaluma, where I spent a number of years. If that entire town was gone, so your childhood home, your friends' homes, your memories, your mom, where she lives, like, the emotional toll of that must be overwhelming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then there's the other side to this, is you can just hear the pickle that they're in. Now, this was really interesting what he started bringing up about Danny Ainge, and I would have traded Larry Bird. You did some digging, and this kind of ends up, I think, being a fascinating conversation, but also applicable to what the right. Warriors are looking at right now.
And let's just leave the beginning of this as what it is, which is, it's a non-starter to trade Steph or Draymond, but I went back to look at what Boston got from Brooklyn when they traded Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry. And at the time, Garnett was 37, Steph's about to be, Pierce is 35, Draymond's about to be. They both have birthdays in March, and what Boston got back was first-round picks in 2014, 16, and 2018, and also a pick swap in 2017. And what they were able to do with those picks is, maybe you've heard of them, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Oh, my God.
So, and I know they also got a bunch of players, and, you know, they got Gerald Wallace, Marshawn Brooks, Chris Humphreys, yes, former Kardashian, kind of,
right.
Keith Bogans, and Chris Joseph. So it was a 5-for-3 in players, and Boston got a boatload of picks. So if you could get 3 firsts and a pick swap, all of a sudden now the idea of trading Steph and Draymond, while I know it's not going to happen,
well,
but when you think about the haul that Boston got, 3 firsts and a swap, and they used the swap in 17, which is how they got Jason Tatum with the 3rd overall pick.
Well, that's the thing. You got to then follow through and hit on the picks,
right.
which they did, and the Warriors have not been so great. Like, right, they had the number 2 pick in the draft once upon a time. You could go even further back and say, hey, they did pretty good at number 7 and number 11, and they found Draymond Green in the 2nd round. But the recent draft success has been spotty at best. So, like, we get all that. But I just keep going back to what Steph said at the Olympics in the offseason. It's like, you can sit here right now, and Kerr cannot even let me sort of, like, get through the question before he's like, no, this is unthinkable. You're not trading Steph. But remember what Steph's message was in the Olympics. Things can firmly be a certain way, and then change very, very quickly. So I'm not suggesting that the Warriors will ever want to do that, and I don't think that they will. But is the scenario that leads down that road completely off the table? I don't know. We don't know what's around the corner. If everybody keeps getting to the same realization, which is that the Warriors just keep getting further and further away from contention, and Steph keeps getting more and more frustrated, and then suddenly you do land in a spot where there is a team that financially can figure this out. And this definitely won't be this year. But what about the end? What about a year from now? What about that? And there is a team that's like, ooh, Steph might be the missing piece, and we do have the financial wherewithal to make this happen, and we can replenish all your picks, and we can this, that, and the other. Look, I still would call that as a very, very significant probably not, but we're here today, and I have no idea where this is going to go. The Warriors right now are starting to feel like a group that's just banging their heads against the wall.
Right.
And if, that will wear you out.
Well, especially if you get to this deadline and there's no real move there. Maybe it's a small incremental move and you get to the offseason and you cleared space, but you can't bring in a free agent. So you look next year and you're basically running it back with Steph and Draymond. You keep Kuminga and you sign him. You've got Pods and TJD and Moody's here. And you look at your roster and you realize we still aren't anywhere near where we need to be. And that's why I was just kind of struck by the Danny Ainge reference, because, you know, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and that whole group, they won a title. Then they went to the semis. They lost in the NBA Finals in 2010. They spent three more years in the playoffs but made no headway. Then That last year they lost in the first round in the Eastern Conference. They were 41-40 that year. They lost in the first round of the East. And as mentioned, KG was 37. Paul Pierce was a forever Celtic, and he was a champion. And yet they traded those two and Jason Terry, and it didn't take long for them to kind of reboot the thing and get right back to where they are now with two of the best 12 players in the league.
Let me ask you this. Not just the Warriors. We could apply this to Buster Posey and John Lynch and whoever else you root for. You want your GM to be unemotional? Totally unemotional.
Yes, except when it comes to Steph.
Okay. If you've been hanging out around Bay Area sports long enough, you know the 49ers did this with all of their stars.
Yeah.
They did this with their biggest of stars. Steve Young's career is what it is because they had the you-know-whats to basically tick off Joe Montana. It flicked him to the curb when he could still play. And there's still controversy to this day.
Right.
Like, Joe is still bothered. But they did it. And Jerry Rice didn't finish in the uniform. And Ronnie Lott didn't finish in the uniform. And Roger Craig didn't finish in the uniform. Nobody.
Tim Lincecum, Madison Bumgarner, they played elsewhere.
They did not finish in the uniform.
Yep.
And so that is why it's so rare. But it's funny you bring up Buster Posey, because he, checks notes, did finish in the uniform.
Right.
And that matters. It matters. So I'm just throwing out that question, because it does at times require the lack of emotion. This came up in the debate that you and I had about Dre Greenlaw. You know, and like Goo and I, like there are others here who sometimes I think we do run the risk of skewing too far in that direction of like,
wow,
no, you could never get rid of our guys. Like, but you do, I'll admit it, sometimes you have to be. I'm not saying this is one of those moments.
Yeah.
But you have to remove the emotion from the player and make a good decision.
Buster's interesting because I do think he made it easy on him by retiring when he did. Because he didn't get to a spot where it was like, geez, we gotta figure out what to do with Buster. And you know, Steph's not at that point either.
No.
But if he decides that, you know, maybe he wants to try something else, and Steve basically refuted that in the interview, like that's not happening, it's not going to happen. But as you've pointed out, if you get through this year and you wind up 39-43 and you're not even in the play-in and nothing goes your way in the offseason, and you come back next October and it's basically Steph, Draymond, Wiggins, and this again, well, then the frustration might be ratcheted up a little bit.
For sure it will. It's already there. I mean, again, you see the look on his face, you see these press conferences. My point is that it's fine now. But if you're doing this every month for another year or another year and a half or whatever, it will wear someone down. It will absolutely wear someone down. Now, look, by then, Steph will be on the doorstep of 38. I don't even know. You know what I mean? Like, how realistic is a trade? I don't know. Maybe. The Warriors called about LeBron James, and he's 40. So maybe there will always be someone interested in a star.
Yeah, just it depends on what team. And I'm reading from Mikhail Prokhorov, the Nets owner.
Yep.
Today, the basketball god smiled on the Nets. With the arrival of Garnett and Pierce, we've achieved a great balance on our roster. This team will be dazzling to watch and tough to compete against.
They stunk.
So there's a sucker born every minute.
Sure
all
is.
You need is one team. I'm not saying you're getting three firsts and a first round swap. But it'd be cool if you could.
We're sponsored by MB Jesse Painting. 888-957-9570 is the number. And if you're not familiar with our knockout tournament, it's back. We'll tell you more about that coming up next as well on Willard and Dibs.
Anderson waits for Curry. Off the screen, takes the three on the way. Curry knocks it down. He has passed Allen Iverson on the all-time scoring list. Has given the Warriors a 96-93 lead.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I see what you did, Grandy. There's one problem. I think the Warriors have more than 99 problems right now.
No, you think?
They got about 162.
Well,
I counted them.
It's not often they get 99 points, although they did last night.
I mean, neither
they got 99 points and a win 8-1.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's tough.
Well, I think the hard part of today, and we can all sort of, we can translate this however you want. You know, Steph Curry saying what he said.
Desperate trades or desperate, you know, moves that deplete the future. Like, there is a responsibility allowing, you know, keeping the franchise in a good space and good spot when it comes to where we leave this thing when we're done. It doesn't mean that you're not trying to get better. It doesn't mean that you're not active in any type of search to, you know, if you have an opportunity where a trade makes sense or even in the summer free agency makes sense, like, you want to continue to get better. Nobody wants to be stale or be in a situation where you're passing up opportunities, but it doesn't mean that you're desperate, you know, just flinging assets all around the place just because you want to do something.
And then add that to what Steve Kerr said to us.
This does not feel like a time, in my estimation, I think in Mike's and Steph's and Draymond's, where you just you push all the chips in the middle and take a wild swing. That would be so irresponsible. So we're aware of that, but what does that mean? It means we are where we are. We're in the middle of the pack with a bunch of teams that are either good enough or not good enough, and we have to find out if we are. And by good enough, that means, you know, can you climb your way into the playoffs and give yourself a chance? And that's what we're trying to do.
I get it. It can feel like a white flag. It can feel like, we're just flat out not good enough. So we're going to kind of not be about now, but we're also going to not solely be about the future. So we're not going to really be about anything. I get it. If you feel that way as a fan, that this in some sort of a way, felt like a white flag. What sticks out to me though, is not how we define that, whether it's white flag or if they're just saying, no, we want to be responsible about it. What's clear to me is that the thing that we've been doing for the last few months,
yeah,
they're doing it too, and they've come up with the same answers that we have, which are none.
Yeah, trades are hard. And, you know, the trade that you want to make, the other team may not want to make it. And,
Yep. You
know, ideally, if you're the Warriors, you're looking to add a player or two and not have to give much up. Which is why the D'Anthony Melton, Dennis Schroeder trader to me was so perfect on the surface, because you had a player who wasn't going to play. He tore his ACL, and that sucks because he really was fitting and he was playing well and he was starting, and I do think he was going to help you be better. And so you turned him into a guy, a veteran, who you thought could come in and be really good for you. And I know it's a small sample. It's only been a dozen or so games, but that's the kind of trade you're looking to still make, where you give up something like GP2, for example, a guy who hasn't played in about 3 weeks. If you could turn him into somebody who actually plays, that would be a great trade. Can you get better without giving up first round draft picks and Jonathan Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins? I mean, that's what you'd like to do, but those trades aren't really out there, right?
Yeah.
Especially 3 weeks before the deadline. When we get down into February, you might be able to pull something off like that, but where are you going to be in 10 more games?
I just think it's like climbing a staircase, and don't try to cut off too many steps with one step. You know, go one step at a time. I would love to see right now, this is not about winning a championship, I'd love to see the Warriors try to get better, get healthier, get better, but maintain your flexibility and be ready if the big bopper availability suddenly comes along. in the next year or two. And if it doesn't, you just you keep trying to create avenues for Steph to do his thing, but do it in a responsible way. I think that's what they're saying, and I'm not offended by that. I honestly don't even know what else, what other option do you have?
Well, you could fling assets all over the place, like Steph was just saying in his soundbite. You could try to fling assets at Miami and get Jimmy Butler and think that that might be the fix, but I know it doesn't work, but you could make it work, and you could go out and get Bradley Beal. You could convince him to waive his no trade.
But you literally look worse if you do that. And I mean that in terms of X's and O's.
Of course.
The finances it takes, with Jonathan Kuminga only making $7 million, the finances, what you have to give up to get one of those players,
you're
worse.
Agreed. And that's why I think that you're looking at something incremental. And just hearing Tim Roy and the sound clip that Grandy played coming back, and Curry has passed Allen Iverson. So Curry's now 28th all-time in points. And it had me thinking, where is Klay Thompson on that list? And I looked, you realize that Nikola Vucevic has scored more points in his career than Klay Thompson?
GTFOH.
I had the same reaction. And I looked. Nikola Vucevic, 16,138. Klay Thompson, 16,013. So, I mean, Vucevic has played about 120 more games.
Yeah, but missed 2 years.
I didn't realize that he had been that prolific for that long. Nikola Vucevic, not only this year, but throughout his career, he's been buckets now.
He averages over 20 a game.
Right.
Which Klay whatever.
More like 23 for Klay traditionally.
He wasn't a 27, 30 a point.
He did miss 2 years. Yeah. But it just struck me that Vucevic is actually higher on the all-time points list than Klay Thompson.
Where are they on the list?
121 and 123.
Interesting.
So,
interesting.
You know, Bradley Beal is ahead of him, and Brook Lopez is ahead of him. Yeah.
Lopez?
Yeah.
Well, he's 48 years old.
True.
So,
And one of your least favorite players is about to burst into the top 20 all time.
Who this?
Russell Westbrook.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, he puts up numbers.
Yeah.
How's he doing the finals?
I think he's been there once.
Yeah, he has.
When he was just a pup.
And he lost.
Yeah.
Anyway, knockout tournament is back. And so on Monday, January 27th, you need to really tap in because you could end up playing basketball at Chase Center. And it's really fun. It'll go for 3 weeks, starting on the 27th. Every single day, every show, 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, 4 p.m. hour. You'll get a chance every single day for 3 weeks. You have to be at least 18. You have to live in California. Them's the rules. That starts Monday, January 27th. Josh on 580. Hi, Josh. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys. You know, I hope I'm the last call of the day because I just want to let everybody know it's going to be okay. We got to witness a dynasty for the last 10 years. We got to watch Steph Curry, one of the most amazing shows on court. You know, he changed the way that basketball is played. If you're a real Warrior fan, just cherish what we got. This is how dynasties end, okay? They come into a crashing halt. Steph Curry gave us 2022. That's the best thing that he could have ever did. Kobe went out like this. Tim Duncan had an interesting finish to his career, you know. Dirk went out like this. These lifers go out like this because of what they do for the city, for the team, for the state of California. You know, he did it, you know, and we got to enjoy it. The Bulls haven't been back since Michael Jordan. They had Derrick Rose for a short amount of time, but it's hard, you know, but we had a dynasty and enjoy it. This is how it ends. We got to just be a real fan, weather the storm, hope they are able to get a top pick, right? They had Wiseman. They tanked that year. But the draft was terrible, and we got Wiseman, and we struck out. It's okay. It happens, guys. We will be okay, Warriors fans. Get you a ticket to a game. Go see Steph Curry before he's done. Enjoy the ride. Be a real fan. We'll be back one day. But I just wanted to share that message. It will be okay. Stop watching games like we're a championship team. We're not. Just watch. Hope we win. Hope we lose. Don't get too tied into it emotionally. It will be okay. I love y'all, Dub Nation.
Yeah, Josh, we love you. Josh. Thank you for the call.
And he was the last call of the day.
And I like that call.
Yeah. Enjoy the game, sure.
Well, listen, and it's not to be campy. It's just to say I do think with what's happened in the last 10 years in this city, with the Giants, the Warriors, and even the 49ers near misses, I do think sometimes we only stare through that lens of we deserve to be in the championship mix every single year. And that's not sports. It doesn't work that way. It never has. And we're here now, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be, but just be prepared for a lot of, I mean, a lot of people accuse these fan bases of being a little bit too chirpy on social media and angry, and I think that that's why.
And a little spoiled, and it's just, it's hard to know that you've arrived there until you actually get there. And, you know, you see Kobe's teams, it's like, okay, they're just miserable, you get that. This team is, hey, if Draymond was healthy last year, they would have won 50. So for fans, I don't think that they've come to the realization that they're there yet, and maybe they're not there yet, you know, to where you're already thinking about reflecting as opposed to rebuilding.
You want to do it again tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay. Let's do it again tomorrow. Do you want to know what's coming up on the game?
I'm excited to know. I have a feeling.
Do your thing, dude.
Rain dance!
Yeah, here, man. Here comes Warriors Roundtable with Kevin Dana.
Gucci!
And Gary St. Jean.
Hello, fellas.
So that is what is on deck, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We'll talk to you tomorrow. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.